What's up, Schmodown fans? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Schmodown. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew the Hunter DiMolanta.
Hey guys, I'm Nikki DiMolanta.
You should say more in these intros. I just noticed that I say like a lot of it.
Yeah, well, I don't have a nickname.
Demi.
I mean,
Nikki DiMolanta.
Nikki Demi DiMolanta.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. Yeah. Anyways, thank you for joining us on another episode of Beyond the Schmodown. So I want to kick off the show with another announcement, Corona related.
Oh God! Of course, enough.
I know.
Enough.
I know. I'm a work from home father, and I'm going crazy with this social distancing.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. It's like we joke. We always joke. I mean, it's not really a joke, but like we always joke that we don't really go out much.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, this doesn't really change much for us because we don't really actually go out that much anymore. Yeah. But it's like, they're telling me not to go out. Now it's different. Don't tell me what to do.
Big brother. Don't tell me what to do, big brother.
If I want to stay in, it's going to be on my own accord.
But anyways, yeah. So due to the coronavirus and, you know, rapidly changing things, things are changing every freaking day now.
Oh, are we not going
to
say
I'm going to try not to, but
I'm going to be me, baby.
I mean, that's the show. If it drops, it drops. But if I'm city, it's F-bomb city.
It might be.
Yeah. But, you know, things are changing like every day. And, you know, now we can't be in large groups or whatever. And
Florida has Orange County in Florida has a curfew. Mm-hmm. So things are happening. Yeah.
But this is really affecting the free for all and the Schmodown overall because now, you know, free for all is being pushed back to an unforeseen date now.
Yeah.
Studio matches are getting delayed now. So now, there's instead of two matches dropping every week, it's gonna be one match every week, and
understandable.
And they say they have a handful of matches in the tank, so like, you know, drop them every week. But you know, at some point, it's like, all right, well, we don't have any other matches to air, so what now?
Yeah, I think Christian said something about how it'll be one match a week until sometime in April, I want to say, or sometime early May. And he was like, oh, then we'll make a decision and see where we are.
Yeah.
And that's all you really can do with how rapidly things are changing.
And hopefully things do start to decline.
Hopefully. Jesus, Christmas.
It's like, because already I'm getting like antsy. Like, I want to get back in there. And, you know, Star Wars matches happen so very infrequently. Now I got to wait even longer.
Yeah. So. And heaven forbid this keeps on going through the summer. And then, oh my God,
no,
if Celebration gets canceled.
Oh God. I'm
going
to be very
upset. God. I will be. That would be very, very upsetting.
Yeah. So, but like, yeah, Christian mentioned something about like maybe looking for the next IG competitor through like, a fan league type of situation, like a fan tournament. Mm. I don't know how you're going to get qualified for that, but you know, whatever. But that's what's happening with that. It's just unfortunate.
But what can you do?
Yeah,
there's really not much you can do.
Wash your hands. Stay safe.
Wash your hands.
Practice social
stay
isolation.
Inside until this all calms the hell down.
Say, yeah.
Social distancing.
Yeah. But let's...
And, you know, don't buy everything of anything in the store.
I think I heard somewhere that's kind of dying down. Panic buying is dying down.
The panic buying, I hope, is dying down.
Yeah.
Because it's only been like, what, a week? Even though it feels like it's been a fucking year.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
But I plan to go to the store tomorrow morning.
We'll see what happens.
Which I'm not excited about it.
We need stuff for baby stuff.
We need to get milk for the baby. She's got a lactose thing. So we need to get special dairy free. And for some reason, that's all snatched up. So I'm going to go in the morning and... We'll see
what
it looks like. It's a war zone out there.
Yeah. So let's switch gears on a more positive note.
On a coronaless note.
So, on a coronaless note, Christian dropped this little bit of knowledge on us. He was going to do it during the free-for-all, but, you know, obviously with that changing, he's like, I'm just going to go ahead and drop it now.
Yeah.
And because it's been in the works for a little bit. He's been in contact with, what's his name again? I already forgot his name. I'm terrible with names, as you can tell.
Well, according to Twitzer's... Tyler Erzberger, I want to say is his actual name.
A writer for ESPN.
Esports writer.
Yes.
For ESPN.
And it's,
his Twitter handle, at Fion on Fire, F-I-O-N-N on Fire.
Yeah. So apparently he's been in contact with Christian for a while now, and he's going to be writing an article for ESPN about the movie Trivia Schmodown, which is... I mean, this might not seem big to certain people. It's like,
it's
whatever. This esports writer is going to write an article. It's like, this is exposure on a worldwide network.
This could be potentially huge.
This could lead to more eyes on the Schmodown. Could lead to more sponsors. It could lead to syndication.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a turning point for the movie Trivia Schmodown. This is huge.
And he described it in a tweet as a full length feature,
mm-hmm.
the biggest movie trivia competition in the world that combines Jeopardy and the theatrics of pro wrestling. I already have around 6 hours of interviews. Should be fun.
I can't wait for this article to come out.
It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be great.
But so yeah, that was pretty big.
That was pretty big. I mean, people might be brushing it off like, "Oh yeah, ESPN," but it's like, this is huge.
This is
a giant a very well known brand getting their eyes on the movie Trivia Schmodown.
Yeah.
So
congrats, Christian.
Congrats on
locking that.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. But yeah, so let's go ahead and get into these matches.
Yes, we got two to talk about this week.
Yeah.
We have IG.
Ooh,
Brandon
yes.
Hanna.
Is this the first IG match of the year?
No, I mean, we saw Alex and Emily.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
So that was at least one.
First studio IG match.
Maybe, I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
So this was Brandon the Hitman Hanna versus Chandru the Chosen One Dandapani. Yes,
and you, last week, you said you had Chandru.
Yes.
And I had Hanna.
Yes. So Hanna was representing the Den, and Chandru was representing Swag. So let's just get right into it, you know.
Yeah. So round one.
Yeah. Well, actually, before round one, you know.
Okay.
Hanna called Chandru a fraud. Thought that was.
Yeah.
Big boy words, and you know, Hanna walked out with Kate and Grace, and Kate absolutely mom danced her way out, and it was great. There's a lot of dancing in these intros because mm-hmm. Kate mom danced her way out. Chandru came out with Winston and RB3, and all three came out dancing.
And I think this is another with those entrances. I think people like Grace, Finstock, and a couple other people haven't gotten the message yet. I think, and the people that are doing it properly,
Winston
and Roxy, they come out and move to the side and they go, "Here's my competitor." And they don't take up screen time.
I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the people that do what you're talking about, mm-hmm. I would expect no different. And I'd almost be like, wow, what's wrong with Vinstock?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Grace?
Yeah. Like, but I wish this would become the norm because, you know, it's like, yeah, managers have a huge part now, but it's like, you're not the one playing. Let your competitors have their moment and coming out. So, but was it this match that they did it with the snapping? I think it was this match, right?
Snapping. What, like the greasers
coming
out? Yeah,
they're doing like the greasers.
Who?
Winston.
Oh,
RB3.
I don't know
if
they did.
Yeah, it was Winston, RB3, and Ace. They all come out and they come out snapping.
Ace wasn't in this intro.
He wasn't?
No.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Oyama match.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, we'll get to that in a bit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, no, what am I thinking? Because...
Yeah.
Yeah, Chandru is part of Swag, but yeah, this is a different match. I'm sorry.
Lots of dancing. It's hard to keep straight.
Yeah.
So round one. It was a spicy one.
Tight match first round.
Because
first round.
They were both doing perfect up until the second to last, the penultimate question.
Yes.
Question 9. It was a Hellboy question, and Hanna missed it. His first miss. Second to last question has got to be rough.
Yeah.
Chandru got a perfect round.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the bonus.
Flawless first round.
Perfecter than perfect. So by the end of round one, 9-11 in favor of the chosen one, Mr. Dandapani.
Mm-hmm.
Round two, Chandru decides he's going to spin first. He gets Star Trek. Surprisingly, I don't know. I thought he was going
to
spin away.
Multiple choice once.
He stayed. Yeah, he went to multiple choice once.
He
got it.
This was fucking impressive by Chandru.
And an interesting note about the multiple choice that Andrew was like, make sure you take a note about that. The multiple choice, it was a question about some star system, and the Illenium system was one of the choices. Okay. LOL.
Illenium system.
So it's like if you're a well-rounded IG competitor, there you go. You knocked it down to a 75% chance of getting it.
But even with this multiple choice, Star Trek is a difficult category.
I will never watch Star Trek.
It's like Star Trek and Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter 2.
I'd watch Harry Potter before I watched Star Trek or Lord of the Rings.
I'd watch Star Trek before Harry Potter.
I think I'd watch Star Trek before I watched Lord of the Rings.
Oh, come on. I love Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit films, not so much, but oh my God, those three films.
You
break my heart every time you say that.
You can keep that.
Oh my God. But this was, even you were like, God damn, this, yeah. this is good.
They were both, they were killing it in round one. And then round two, yeah.
Well, no, for Chandru's second round of Star Trek.
Yeah, he crushed it.
Crushed
I
that
was
category.
Really surprised. Yeah. Like, Chandru was, and it was interesting because Chandru, I mean, you know, he actually wasn't playing different than he normally plays. Mm-hmm. He was very loose, very relaxed, you know, cracking little jokes here and there. And Hannah was very much focused.
Yeah.
Not out of character for either one of them.
Yeah, but Hannah seemed to be more out for blood in this match.
Yeah. But Chandru was very relaxed, mm-hmm. and he just knocked it out of the park in round two. I was very, yeah. very impressed. So Hannah spins. He gets DCEU. He stays.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the more recent categories. So it's one would argue this is the easier of the other categories because the movies are so recent. So
really?
I would think so. That's why I think Star Trek is so difficult because there's movies that date back to, like, you know, so far back. Same with Star Wars. Lord of the Rings is more lore. Harry Potter is more lore. Mm. But like... DCEU is like, yeah, the more recent movies.
So like should, Aquaman.
Yeah, Aquaman, Wonder Shazam. Woman, Justice League, Shazam, oh, okay. things like that. They're more recent, so I think you're able to recall things because you've seen them more recently, like when they debuted.
So he went to Hannah. He mm-hmm. went to multiple choice twice. Mm-hmm. The first one, he got it. The second one, he missed. It was a question about the make of the car that Bruce Wayne uses to pick up Barry Allen.
This one
Justice
I blanked
League.
On.
What was the answer?
It was Mercedes.
A Mercedes.
I said either Mercedes or Audi.
I was like, I don't know, then Lamborghini, like, I guess.
Because I remember a circle on the car. Like, there's definitely a circle on the car.
I don't know bullshit about car logos. So, you know, that wouldn't help me one bit. Yeah. Yeah. But Chandru does steal that.
And now that I think about a circle on the car, that's like very vague. Almost every logo has a circle.
Yeah.
But I really, I narrowed it down.
The circle really gave it away. Like, come on, Brandon.
No, but I was like, yeah, it's either Audi or Mercedes. I definitely remember it was one of those two.
It was the one with the circle.
But anyways, Chandru stole that one?
He did steal it. Yeah, he got it. And then another thing that we just, you know, took note of, and it's not make or break, you know, it's whatever, but it's just interesting that Kate and Grace both went up to talk to Brandon again after round two.
I don't remember if they did it after round one, but
I don't remember if
they definitely did it after round two.
They definitely did.
Christian even addressed this on SCN. It's like, you guys can't do that anymore. So
maybe Daddy Christian wasn't there that day.
Maybe so, but like, you know. If the chairman says it on like on SEN or backstage, it's official. You can't do it. So yeah. Christian, I know you listen. You gotta lock that down.
Yeah, I mean,
how much
spoilies? It really didn't affect the match.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know,
how much can it really affect the match? But you know,
you never know.
You never know.
It's the slightest edge that could tip the scales in your favor. Exactly. You never know. You know, it just didn't happen in this match. Round three.
Spoiler alert.
Round three. So Hannah goes first, obviously. Mm. His 2-point question was scores and soundtracks. Who was the Middle Earth composer? He got it.
Mm.
3-point question. I feel like my jaw just cracked, and I don't know if you heard that because, damn,
I didn't hear it at all.
Wow. 3-point question for Hannah. Marvel question. Who played Negasonic Teenage Warhead in Deadpool and Deadpool 2?
That's a hell of a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He missed it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because he missed that, we had to go to his 5-pointer. Mm. And as the most ironic luck would have it, Star Wars. And this is in the wake of his last match losing on a big Star Wars 5-pointer.
Yes.
Do you remember what that question? It was a Viper droids or Buzz droids Vulture droids.
What type of droids cover General Grievous' ship in the opening scene of Revenge of the Sith?
Whatever that was. And he missed it.
Yeah, Vulture droids.
So, you know, as luck would have it, he gets another 5-point Star Wars question. He got in episode one. Episode one, campaign of... Leader of Naboo Starfighters. Wow. I got autocorrected. Autocorrected to campaign, I guess. Call sign of leader of Naboo Star. That makes a lot more sense.
Bravo leader.
Of Naboo Starfighter Squadron. And it was Bravo leader.
That's
and
a fair 5-point question in the IG for Star Wars.
So, you know, it ended up 18 to 21 in favor of Chandru. Your boy got a TKO.
KO. Yeah.
So that's a TKO.
4 points
for
swag. 4 points.
Big deal.
That's a big deal. And looking back on this match, just looking, because like I was expecting a really like knockout, drag out match.
Which it felt like it was in the first two rounds.
Yeah, but then, you know, Hannah started slipping up. And I look back on this and it's like Hannah's struggling with actors because a lot of his misses were like, name this actor who played this.
Yeah.
So, and you know, hit him in three-pointer, and I believe it was in the first round that he missed as well. I think he missed three questions that were all actor questions.
Yes.
And it's like, if you look at this is a real weakness of his that he has to brush up on.
Which you bring up a good point, because in the post-game match interview, in the post-match interview, Grace did mention that, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It helps highlight gaps in knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it helps him prepare.
Maybe he's paying attention, paying too much attention to plot points, character names, and not looking so much as like behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. Because, just kind of shows him where else he should focus.
Yeah, exactly. And in, you know, in every division, it's like that, where like BTS kind of stuff comes up. And not
behind the scenes, BTS, not the Korean band.
Or Beyond the
Shmona. Beyond the Shmona.
Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
Branding.
Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see that much in Star Wars. So, like, that's something that I've always argued should be a presence in. But, you know, it's totally present in this division for IG. So,
oh, yeah.
Something that he's going to have to brush up on. Who knows when we're going to be able to see him again?
Yeah, hopefully we get to see him relatively soon. Well, I mean, with a loss on your record and plus all this garbage with coronavirus. That's going on, yeah. So who knows
I can see him going up against, if we do see him again, maybe Emily Rose, because of the both got the first loss of the season.
Oh, and by that same logic, who knows, maybe we get Chandru Damon. Maybe not.
I would see
Chandru's too high ranked, probably.
Yeah, because he's got too many wins.
Yeah,
he's closer to a number one contender shot than any other
true
competitors.
Yeah.
I see Damon going up against the winner of, probably, if Dan wins something, maybe he goes up against him. Or if
being two noobs in the division.
Yeah. So it has to be another rookie that has one win to their name that Alex would go up against.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Am I boring you? I'm sorry. This is a sport. We gotta talk like a sport.
In the post-match interview,
ESPN is covering us. We're a true sport now.
We are gonna be.
The place. The Schmodown is a legit sport.
We
sports now,
are the league. Isn't that what Clark said? Clark said it is canon. So Winston says that Swag is gonna dominate IG. He says Chandru is definitely someone to look out for. We've established that.
He took Smets to the absolute brink of his match.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chandru said that with Winston by his side, he feels like he truly understands the value of a manager now.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like when people highlight, because I know the Schmodown went through a certain point where people were like, what do managers even
and
do?
You see Winston managing, totally managing in the, well, we'll get to it in a bit with the Oyama Roka match.
Yeah.
So that's I think Winston is someone to look out for managers, because he had that loss with RB3.
Yeah, but he's doing sneaky good.
But he has the final exam that came off a big win.
Yeah.
Chandru just got a big win.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Winston's he's doing great.
Yeah, we'll look at the leaderboard after we recap this next match, But yeah.
And Hannah says that whoever he faces next, they're going to be in for a bad day, because he's going to bring it.
Hey, man.
And he says that he and Chandru must be a dyad in the Force. They're destined to do this forever. So nice Star Trek reference.
Yeah,
and
so
on to the next match. You didn't catch that?
What? I know.
Star Wars reference. It's not Star Trek. I'm joking. I'm joking, guys. I'm not that
fucking dumb. I completely
blanked
on that. But
I was expecting you to like throw my drink at me across the table. So next match.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on this match? Because
no, not really. Because not that I was like, oh yeah, I called it. You know, because it was a hard one to.
Yeah.
I really picked Chandru because more of a, like I said last
recency
time,
bias.
It was more of a recency bias than I really think Chandru's going to take it. You know, because they're both formidable opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon just hit some. He hit some bad luck.
Yep.
And like you and Grace both said, it just kind of shows him where he might need to focus for the next time.
Yeah.
So.
Because he did very well.
He's not done by a long shot.
No.
But yeah, I'm interested to see where Chandru goes, because I think if he gets to see Smets again, it'll be.
Oh, yeah.
It'll gonna be a knockdown, drag-out fight.
But he's going to have to wait a while, because.
Going to have to wait a little bit.
Inside joke for us, please.
So Roka versus Oyama. So, like we said last time, not a big surprise. We're going for Roka.
Roka, Finstock Exchange biased. So
yeah. So Roka's obviously representing the exchange.
Yep.
Oyama is representing Swag.
And I was very interested in this match to see how... Well, no, because the team's match was the first match back from his... but singles-wise.
Yeah.
How is he going to bounce back from that devastating loss at
devastating is a good word.
Yeah.
That was...
I don't like to say embarrassing because you never know what's going on with somebody...
Exactly,
backstage, and, things just don't go your way sometimes. Sometimes they just snowball out of your control.
Yeah. And he did mention in the post-match interview, spoilers, whatever, he did say that...
He was dealing with something.
Well, he mentioned that it was just a complicated situation, so that just leads us to believe that,
something,
give the guy a break.
Yeah.
Something probably happened in, I don't know, his real life.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. And I'm liking this new Paul.
I'm
really liking this new Paul.
More humble Paul.
A little more humble Paul.
And I'm sure I've said this before, when Paul first debuted, I did not like this kid. I did not like him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God. All these new rookies are just
trying
to be
heels. Another cocky little asshole coming from the fan league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he went up against Chance.
Yeah. I think that's when
was when he really won me over. And I was like, I don't know why. I don't even know why. But
sure
I was like,
either.
All right. Yeah. And also somebody posted a picture in the Facebook group of, this is a time that I wish we had like a video podcast. It was like a picture of Oyama and he was like leaning back in his seat and he had like one arm over the back of his chair.
Yeah.
And he was just like looking real smug.
Yeah.
And then somebody put it right next to a picture of like Bugs Bunny and he was like wearing like a velvet robe and like a king's crown, like sitting in the same position, like looking smug as hell. And I was like, that's funny. So I think that along with, I don't know why, but that match with Chance, I was like, all right, I can get down with this guy.
Yeah.
But now that he's evolved his character more, it's even better.
Mm-hmm. How old is this kid? He's like 22, 21?
It's been so long since we've ever uttered those numbers. So I don't know.
As an age, it still exists. Oh my God.
That's crazy. But yeah, he's early 20s. So it's like...
I found it strange. I don't know how other people feel about it, but do you feel strange calling 20-somethings kids? I know we're going off a tangent here, but
yeah, it feels in
weird.
A way.
Yeah.
In a way, because
I think
having a
child actually absolutely changes your mindset. It's like
having a kid makes me feel like, yeah, I got an extra adult point.
Yeah.
You know, I just put that on my leaderboard.
Yeah, I think adult points are like we're paying double mortgage at one point. We bought a second house.
We bought a house. We sold a house. We had a kid. I pay taxes like a law-abiding citizen.
We have retirement funds.
Points.
I got stocks and bonds.
Roth IRA going for me. I'm pretty fucking adult here.
So yeah, I think But in the back of my head always is like, oh, this fucking kid, and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I look like I'm fucking 15 anyways. Look at me dropping 3 F-bombs.
Yeah, and look at me. I think a Bugs Bunny meme's funny. Can't really talk over here.
Yeah. Anyways.
But yeah, no, it feels kind of weird, but it is what it is because whatever. I wish I was still in my early 20s. Whatever. So, I'm not bitter.
Back to this match. anything on the pregame interviews?
Yeah. Well, in the entrances, I don't really have many notes because honestly, I was in when Andrew was first. Oh, we were watching it when it premiered on YouTube and. In all honesty, when the entrances and the pre-match interviews were happening, I was in the other room with our daughter.
Oh, wait, no. I did find it interesting that Finstock did not talk at all in the promo.
Really?
No.
I got to go back and watch the intro.
I don't believe so. Again, I only watched this once.
Yeah.
And Roka just did the entire promo by himself. Gucci was there.
Yeah, but
he was just standing silently.
Letting Roka do his thing.
Roka, and rightfully so.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, Roka's fantastic on the mic. Just let him do his thing.
Yeah, you don't really have to. You just set him free and let him fly. Yeah. Oh, okay. Full disclosure, I didn't actually watch the entrances or the pre-match because I was in the other room,
being a parent.
Being a parent.
It's fucking kids over here.
But I was informed that during the entrances, people in the crowd started chanting fourth round Roka.
Yeah, right when he came out.
Yeah. Which I'm sure he took like a champ because he's heard it about, five bazillion times.
Yeah.
So.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there, baby?
I see. I'm not going to go with the real number because, people might be listening to this.
We'll just
keep
it
to myself.
Give him a little taste. You know what I'm saying? If you know what that reference is to, letting Mitch know.
Right in the comment section. Hit us up on Twitter. But yeah, this was the match when Oyama came out. They were doing the snapping thing. It was
That's why it doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, okay. It was Winston, RB3, and I think it was Ace who also came out.
Also one that I'm very interested in seeing, but go on.
Yeah, he goes up against Parker. That's his
that's
debut.
That's a highly anticipated match.
That is highly, like,
for me and you.
Yeah.
And many, probably.
Yeah, because Parker, man, if he doesn't deliver.
But go on, they're snapping like greasers?
Yeah, but they're snapping like greasers, and they all three
like
come
they're
out.
In West Side Story, yeah, you know, the sharks and the whatever
exactly.
The other ones are called.
Yeah. I wonder if that was like a joke towards Christian about, you know, the whole Ben Goddard and Silver Strini, the greasers.
That'd be pretty funny. Even though it's a different faction, but that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny because I think Christian made a joke. It's like, if you guys come out snapping, I'm gonna fucking kick you out of the building.
Oh, yeah. Nice job, guys.
I don't know if that might have been it, but, you know.
A girl can dream.
Yeah.
So round one. Oyama.
Oh, wait. Before we get into it, I found it funny that I love these not really knowing how old John is type of jokes, because Paul comes out with, is I think, the greatest like catchphrase for letting you know you're ready to go. It's like, hey, set your clocks, it's prime time, and he hits the board on the desk. I think that's fucking awesome.
Did he do it again?
Yeah, he always does.
Nice.
It. So I wish I had a catchphrase like that. I think mine is just like, here's where the fun begins. But yeah, I mean, whatever. But then then Roka gets on. It's like, I've been setting clocks for I don't know how many decades. I've always been ready. And so
baller. Like,
I love that. That running joke of, yeah, Roka's really, really old.
By the way, everybody, it's Sharks and Jets and West Side Story. Just thought I'd educate y'all.
I'm pretty sure Greece is your Star Wars. One of.
Only in with respect to the number of times I've seen it.
Yes.
I have seen Grease.
What would you say? What would you say is your Star Wars? Teenage Mutant Turtles or Grease? Or like Young Frankenstein or.
Oh God.
Sorry, guys. Tangents.
Oh man.
I gotta say what's in my head, people. I got questions. They need answers.
That's a really good question.
I've seen Ninja Turtles.
I would say Ninja Turtles is probably among.
Yeah.
My top movies that I've.
You can quote that.
Seen
movie.
A lot, and I could quote a lot of it. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
But there's like that whole Casey Jones raft scene with the Jose Canseco bat. Like, I could probably quote that entire scene.
Tell me
you didn't pay money for this. We just synced the fuck up. Man, that was great.
Okay. Anyways, so let's get into this match up for Christ's sake. Can you tell I'm trying to drag this out as much as possible?
Really? Why?
No, whatever.
Are we going too quick?
Maybe. come on, let's get into it.
Oyama. He missed only the last question.
Oh yeah, this match.
That's rough. Mm-hmm. So the only question he missed was the very last question. Roka got a perfect round and landed the bonus. So by the end of round one, 7-9, Roka. Round two, Oyama spins first. Mm. He gets SNL movies first.
And he spins away, right?
He spins away. He gets young adult adaptations. Yeah. Again, whatever the hell that means.
And we talked about it last week.
Is that coming of age? No,
it's the movies adapted from young reader novels. So Hunger Games, Twilight.
Oh, right.
You know, The Fifth Wave.
Whatever that is.
That was a piece of garbage. Oh,
that's
my
right.
God.
Okay.
Well, can't believe I saw that piece of garbage.
Can't believe I saw
garbage.
That stuff. Garbage. G-A-R-B-I-T-C-H.
What does that spell?
Garbage.
Oh,
man. So he gets young adult adaptations. He misses a whole ass question without going to multiple choice. So he misses
it was
2 points.
That state question, right?
It was some... Oh, no. Everybody, hold on. I'm prepared.
Thank God for dinner. So I'm going to fill the time. But
it was 2013's... Okay, it was 2013's Beautiful Creatures takes place in what southern U.S. state?
What?
Never even heard of that movie.
Never heard of them.
So, Beautiful Creatures, what southern U.S. state?
Mm-hmm. What did
Paul
he say?
Paul said Louisiana because he said something about how people were speaking Creole, I guess, in the movie or had Creole accents or something.
Never seen it.
So he took an educated guess and said Louisiana. Roka pulled a classic Roka,
guessing the
or
answer.
You know, Makuga or whatever you want to say. He was like, oh, I don't know, South Carolina, and it was right. So either he's a fantastic actor.
No, he said somewhere, either SDN or backstage or one of those shows or Collider Live or something like that. That
Collider
Live. Yeah, like this is way back when he like he was talking about like when he does that.
Oh,
that,
okay, that it's stuff, totally sincere.
It's sincere, like wow. He, whenever he goes, oh god, geez, oh my god, I don't know.
That's what I love about Roka. He is a decorated veteran in this game. He has won how many belts? He's a current belt holder.
4 titles.
And yet he gets categories and he's like, oh, oh no. It's like, Roka, you know that you're going to do well. Like, unless you get, I don't know, what's something he's like not good at? I don't know, romance or something? Young adult romance? Like, unless you get that, you're John Roka, motherfucker. You're gonna do good. I just love how he's, maybe it's a mark of being humble. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I think it's charming for the outlaw character to still be like, oh no. So, Roka goes up. He spins Matt and Ben. Oof. First.
Matt Damon.
He decides he gonna keep it.
Yeah. So, is this a new category? This seems like a new category.
Oh, it's definitely a new category. I've never heard of Matt and Ben before, so it's definitely got to be
never heard of Matt Damon? Ben Affleck?
I've heard of the guys, Martian? But not the slightest. They did Good Will Hunting. That's my extent.
And this,
my knowledge.
When this category came up, I'm like, oof, new category, broad category. Spin away from this because it's like, it's like last week with what was the category? They're like, oh, who's that? What was the category?
Paul Thomas Anderson.
It's like they had a writing question. So
is he friends with David Fincher?
I'm gonna blow right past that. But this is a category where it could be directing, could be writing, could be acting.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
it's a big category.
So it's a huge category. I'm like, ooh, spin away from that.
Yeah.
But he
was like, nah, dog, double down.
Yeah.
And so he kept it. So he goes multiple choice, gets it. Multiple choice. Misses. But Paul did not steal.
Yeah.
Then there was a question about The Martian, and he was like, I don't know, but, well, guess you got to go ahead and take chances, right? Totally guesses and says The Martian. Mm-hmm. He gets it. So, you know,
he's ahead, so he can...
He can afford it.
He can afford chances.
Kind of risky, but he could also afford it in that moment.
Yeah.
By the end of round 2, 13-16 in favor of Roka. Mm-hmm. Round 3.
Oh, this is where it gets a little spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Not really, but whatever.
Not really. Not really. Kind of. So, Paul goes first. His two-pointer. Famous actors and actresses. He got, like, who does Sandra Bullock play in Gracie Lou Freebush, and it was Miss Congeniality. He gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see the movie? I remember you're like, oh, what's the better question?
Oh, yeah. I don't think this would be a two-pointer. I think this would be more like a three or five. I forget her name. But it was a blonde girl who did twirling for her talent in the movie. The baton girl. Yeah. I think a great question would be like when she does her interview with William Shatner and he's like, what's your idea of a perfect date? Like, I would think, what is the date that she gives? Yeah. I think that'd be a great question.
That's a five-pointer.
I don't remember what it was, but it was like March or April, like 23rd or 24th or something like that.
It's not too hot and it's not too cold.
I need his light sweater.
Hey, man, get Demi Lanta on the writing staff, Christian Harloff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it could be. Well, no, for at least like singles.
I'd have to see like at least 5 movies to be able to qualify. I don't know that I'm there yet.
You have some other good questions that really like the
I have some things in my brain that I think would be great.
What was it? The Caddyshack question. There's another movie.
Ace Ventura question.
Yeah.
Major Pain. Love that movie.
Right.
We've been talking about that
a lot the past couple of days.
Oh man. I don't know how we got on the topic of Major Pain.
You said a quote and you said, hey, what's this from? And it took me like 10 minutes to come up with it.
Yes, that's right.
I don't think I got it either. What was the quote you gave me?
Oh, God.
It was...
And I get the urge to kill or something like that.
It wasn't that. It was... Oh my God. What man. It'll come to us. Well,
maybe once we're done recording, it'll come to us.
Yeah. And we'll quick come back and record another segment.
I don't remember what it was, but oh.
It was an obscure one. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
That definitely. I thought it was that Urge to Kill quote.
Shmodown question for Major Payne. What was the name of the wrestler that made a cameo?
Oh, I know that only because you asked me that. You looked it up afterwards. I looked it up. Wasn't it Bam Bam Bigelow or something like that?
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
Tattoo on his freaking head.
Yeah. What did it say? That's a good question, too.
No, it was like flames.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was flames because he took that do-rag and ripped it off his head.
Yeah.
God, I love Major Payne. It's such a good movie. Wow, it's like a piece of art. Okay. Anyways, they didn't ask any Major Payne questions in this match. So, Paul's three-pointer. I should be a writer for the Schmodown. Christian, hit me up, okay?
Hey, you follow her on Twitter. DM her.
It's a pretty big deal for me. So, Paul, 3 points. He gets comedy. It was a question about Hitch. Mm-hmm. He got it wrong.
Oh, what's the question? It was like...
I don't know what the question was. I didn't take that.
I never saw Hitch.
I didn't see Hitch. Wasn't that Paul Blart and... Yeah. What's his face? Will Smith.
What's his face?
What's his face? Biggest actor.
One of the biggest stars in the world. Yeah. What's his face? He's the African American gentleman.
Wow. I wasn't going to go there. I was going to make some kind of Fresh Prince reference or something. So what's his face? You know, and Paul Blart. Movie cop.
Neither of their names. You got neither of their names.
I got Will Smith. I got there eventually. 5-pointer for Paul. He gets Judd Apatow. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I thought that guy was an actor. Is he not? Has he ever acted?
I don't know why.
I always thought he was an actor for the longest time. Probably until the Schmodown happened. He got some question about funny people. Mm-hmm. Like who plays the husband of somebody. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he missed. Mm-hmm. So it was 15-16 in favor of Rocha with a TKO.
Oh, 3 points for the Finstock exchange.
Big old 3 points for the exchange.
Yeah. So yeah. So overall, like, God, I again another match that I was like, God, this is gonna be a drag out match. Paul's gonna be coming back from his little debacle.
Yeah, Warpath.
Yeah, he's gonna be back for blood. He's back on the right track after his team match with Final Exam and his TKO.
Yeah, he was looking real good in that match.
He was looking real good. Granted, it wasn't, a singles win, but it was a win nonetheless.
And it's still answering movie questions.
Yeah.
So it still greases the gears.
Yeah, exactly. So very surprised at this outcome. I didn't see.
I was not expecting a TKO.
I was not expecting. We wanted Rocha to win. You know, points for the Finstock exchange. But yeah, 3 points, man. It's great.
Yeah. It's great. In the post-match interview.
Yes.
Dagnino said something about how the Finstock exchange, we're like the wind. We just keep on blowing. Awesome analogy.
Okay.
Just keep on blowing, you know what I mean? And Dagnino said that Rocha had 3 C's. Again with the 3 C's. He was cool, calm, and collected. Mm-hmm. Rocha said that he's here to stay.
Yeah.
And he's here to win belts and defend belts. So that's what I like to hear.
And I think everybody's saying it. Like Rocha to me feels. I said it last week. He feels like a different player now, and I never thought that would have been possible. Like he can reach another level of competition because obviously 4 titles. People like Dan Merle, Riley, that have been in this game for so long. It's like, can they keep this up? Can they keep up with the new talent coming in? Can they reach that another level to get multiple titles? And it's like, yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah,
totally, man. Like you even looked the way he plays. It's like you get flavors of old John Rocha, but it's like, he's different now, and I love it.
And he said that he studied in a very unorthodox fashion for this, which I'd love to know what that means.
I can ask him. Want me to ask him?
DM
him right
now.
Tell
me, Rocha. It's not like it's gonna fucking benefit me ever.
Hey, I can.
What does it matter?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna tell anybody.
I'm not gonna tell anybody, but maybe I can use it for my strategy.
Maybe.
Hey, man. Win for the
hit me up, John.
Win for the exchange. Let me know, John.
But he said that Rocha said that nothing dials him in, people doubting him, because was like, people chanting fourth round Rocha and all that kind of garbage.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, that
just fuels,
that gets me going.
Yeah, same with me,
that
man.
Butters my biscuit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I like to hear too. I'm glad that Rocha uses that kind of negativity,
it's like fuel,
and makes it a good thing for him.
Competition fuel, just eat it up.
Yeah. So Winston said that the exchange Winston said the exchange is like the white Wu-Tang Clan with no bars.
With no what?
Bars. Like, you know.
Chains?
No.
Like, I don't, is that slang for something?
No, I'm assuming he means like, you know, music.
Oh,
bars.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty fucking I'm
whiter than you. I'm what do they call, you know, a Twinkie. Mm. Yellow on the outside, white on the end. Wow. I'm that kind of Asian.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyways.
One of our friends. Remember
what would it be a Twinkie? Would it be a Twinkie more of a coconut? Because I'm not technically
brown on the outside.
Brown on the outside, white on the end.
White meat, white coconut meat.
Yeah, because I'm not. You know, I'm you know more Pacific Island.
Oh, kind of. I see Asian. What you're saying. You I like coconuts, I mean? So I'm down with that. Hey. I'm not. I don't honestly know that I've ever eaten a Twinkie, but I do
You've
like.
Never
coconuts.
Eaten Twinkie.
I honestly cannot say I have.
You live with boys throughout all college. You're rooming with four guys.
Yeah, and we never had Twinkies, did we?
Alan had Twinkies.
I didn't eat them. We had oatmeal cream pies all the time.
That's true.
And cream
Anyways,
soda.
So back to the post-match interview.
Oh my God. My body couldn't handle eating the way we used to eat back in the
day.
Back in college, it was me, Andrew, and four other guys living in one townhouse. Yeah. And my body could not handle eating
there.
Like that.
I
anymore.
Slept in your room, obviously. We've lived together basically for our entire relationship.
Basically.
Yeah.
Good thing my parents liked you.
Yeah, no surprises here.
Yeah. Maybe we can get into that story on another podcast.
Yeah.
Because that was a good time.
So, yeah. It is...
Precious.
Yeah, join the Patreon.
Cute. So Winston, White Wu-Tang Clan, you say, you know, it just seems like people just keep coming out of the woodwork saying they're going to come out for those belts and whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was a good match. It Not was. The outcome I was expecting. Obviously, you're rooting for Roka, but I was not expecting a TKO. Mm-hmm. And I hope, you know, it's not like, yeah, it was a TKO, but it's not like Roka wiped the floor with him.
Yeah, no, it was a close match for the most part.
I just don't want Paul
to be discouraged
to
by
be
this.
Discouraged yeah. because of how his last season ended and, how you know, this being his singles debut of the year.
If
I know it won't because he's a better player than that. No. And he's still got a killer record.
Oh, yeah.
Was he 6-2?
You know, he's like 9-3.
Oh, where have I been? Wow. Really?
No, 9-2. Yeah,
Who
you're
am
right.
I thinking of? I thought he was 6. Am I thinking of the family?
No. He's 9-2.
Oh.
Because he went undefeated until he went up against Ben.
He must have been 6 wins back then, and I'm just stuck on that number.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
No, he was undefeated until Ben beat him for the title.
Right.
And that was his first loss. And then he went up against Roka, so now he's 9-2.
Mm, numbers.
So, yeah, he's got a fantastic record. I mean, but what baffled me was, like, when you look at people's records, and I looked at, you know, they have the lower third during the post-match interviews, and it shows you the record. Roka's, like, what, 15 and like, I don't know what his record is. He's got 15-9 or something like that.
High numbers.
It's ridiculous how many matches he's played.
Yeah.
But
I'm actually...
You're looking at it right now?
I'm looking it up because I... Finally put the schmo down live in my favorites, hey. And now it's playing music. Wow. Hey, Mark Ellis. How you doing, baby? Let me go ahead and mute that. So let's go to faction standings.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and look at the leaderboards.
Are we going to get a copyright strike for that?
No, we shouldn't.
Is that how this works?
I know the editor.
So it actually does look like these faction standings were updated since we looked at it last time.
Okay, yeah, so...
Let me turn on this stupid auto-rotate.
Who's in the lead? I want to know who's in the lead. Who's in the lead?
Such a dick.
What? I'm curious. Who's in the lead?
So in the lead is the Finstock Exchange.
Oh, really?
With 14 points. Hmm. And tied for second place, actually, is Swag and the Den with 7 points apiece. So put them together...
I mean, I, and again, we've played more matches than all of the rest of the factions.
Yeah.
So obviously we have more points, and the fact that we're winning all those, and our only losses came in one night.
Oh, that's true.
One of them came to another faction mate. So
that's true.
So, you know, I mean, we can flex as much as we want. It's like, look, then second place is half as many points as we do. It's like, well, you know, look at it. They don't have as many matches under the belt as we do. But the two that are in second place are sneaky good. They're sneaky good. With
Swag and the Den. Oh, Den. Yeah. They're both solid teams. Yeah. Like, they're definitely going to be ones
and
to
look behind
out for.
Them is, what is, Droogs?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I actually navigated away. Oh, I'm back. Okay. It goes Finstock, Swag, the Den, Rockstars.
Oh, okay.
Rockstars are in, I mean, would you, I mean, if Swag and the Den both have seven, they're tied for second. So that'll put Rockstars in third with four.
Droogs?
Oh, actually in Droogs. So Rockstars and Droogs are tied at third place with four.
Yeah.
Then the Mercs with three. Suspects and Corruption with two, Dungeon with zero.
I would put Droogs above Rockstars because how many matches has the Droogs played?
Does it say? Oh, MP, I'm assuming is matches played.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Matches played?
So Droogs have had three and Rockstars have had two.
Okay. How many losses do the Droogs have? They have two?
Droogs have one. One loss.
And Rockstars have one loss?
Rockstars have one loss.
So I would put Droogs above Rockstars at that. They're tied.
Well, Droogs have two wins. Rockstars have one.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know why they wouldn't flip those because technically Droogs are ahead of them.
How embarrassing.
Because of the matches. But whatever, they're tied for points.
Well, if that's the case, then and all of the all Den of, probably would be above Swag then in that case.
Yeah. That. Yeah. So,
so
because
actually,
Rockstars only have one win and... And that all of it came from IG TKO.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just ranting.
Finstock Exchange, just to put everything into perspective, since you were saying, admittedly, we played more. Finstock Exchange has seven matches played, and the next faction with the most is five, with the Den.
Yeah.
So the Den is at five matches played, to the Exchange is seven, and then Swag is at four, and then so on and so forth with everybody else.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Corruption's actually had four matches.
Oh, wow. And they're, what's their record?
They are...
1-3?
1-3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're heavy hitters one, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the Dungeon, what is their... They have yet to win.
They're 0-2.
Yeah. Wow.
But I'm very, very curious to see what happens.
All
with
their points are
going to
make
Spidey Boy.
The web. Parker.
The web.
Oh, the spider. Sorry, the web.
The spider, yeah.
The web. Where did I get the web from?
Ew.
I don't know. But yeah, all their points are going to be made up in the IG.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of part of what Kaiser's banking on.
Yeah, and this whole Corona thing is just going to delay everything, push everything, and like it's going to drag the season out, and maybe. Spectacular gets closer to the end of December, mid-December, because usually Spectacular is the beginning of December and give people plenty of time to, vacation and, time spent with family. Maybe we have to push that back to mid-December.
It's just...
Or it just bleeds into next year.
It sucks. It because does. This is definitely going to slow things down. The other interesting thing to think about is that everyone's... quarantine, so everybody's probably watching a shitload of movies.
This could be good for the league.
Yeah,
I know. I've been, obviously. Granted, again, I haven't left the house in like 3 weeks.
We went in the backyard today.
I haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, you want to go to store tomorrow? I really don't want to.
I mean, I could.
You could.
But I want to, I want to.
We'll rock paper scissors for it.
But I want to set the studio up for certain things to happen. For the channel.
Look at that segue.
Yeah. No, but so we'll talk about it a little bit because I want to get to a call that we got.
Oh, yeah.
From a certain squadron commander, our first squadron commander.
A very special commander.
What happened here? Where my phone, dude? Here it goes. So here we go.
Hey, Andrew and Nikki. This is Damor from New York.
Hey, Damor.
Hope you all are doing well. I want to say it's amazing how you can love both competitors in a match, but end up rooting for one over the other. Like in Paul v. Roca, love Roca for everything he brought, continues to bring to the Schmodown. But I was rooting for Paul to win because I felt he'd be coming back stronger, especially after his loss at Spectacular. But if there's one thing we've seen time and time again, is that anything can happen. That bonus question and steal made a big difference in Roca's favor. So congrats to Roca and the Finstock Exchange. I have no doubt that Paul will be coming back stronger in the next match he plays.
For sure.
Yeah,
by the way, what do you suppose that wow meant as he was leaving in the post-credit scene? I have some doubts about that. Like, it was an expression that, wow, these people are gullible. Love to hear your thoughts.
That's interesting.
Great work on the podcast. Keep it up. Much love to you all, and stay safe out there.
Yeah, you too, man.
You stay safe, too.
You're awesome.
That was Squadron Commander. Taymor. You pronounce his last name better than I do.
Didn't he say it was like butter, but with an A at the butter? End? Butter.
Like butter?
I just feel like you have to say it like...
You say butter with an attitude? Butter.
Because I know
Commander
that...
Commander Butter.
Commander Butter. Because I feel like... Because he's also a fan of the afternoons. Mm-hmm. And it's like a running joke that Ken and Josh just cannot... I can't even think of how they actually try to say his name, they just can't. They can't do it. But I'm pretty sure he said it's like butter, but with an A at the end. And I just cannot help but say it like butter.
Butter.
It just feels right.
Taymor Commander. So that was, yeah. So thank you for calling in, Taymor Commander Butter.
Yeah.
Thank you for your patronage.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was an interesting thing that he said about the post match interview when he's talking to Jen Sturger.
Yeah.
And
who?
Like,
Paul.
Paul. Before he walks out the door, and he goes, wow. And he turns around and walks out the door.
Yeah.
He said that he read that as people like this new Paul is kind of like a character within the character, like just like, you know, like a front basically to like, oh yeah, I'm a new Paul.
Edgy Paul's still there.
Yeah, Edgy Paul's still there. He's just gonna like flip on.
I gotta
everybody.
Go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, so that's an interesting take. I mean, it'd be a great storyline.
Yeah, absolutely.
To pull. But I read it as like, you know, wow, that was very genuine of a Jen to say that. So that's the way I read it.
Oh, wait, you're talking about that cutscene.
Yeah, the cutscene.
Not the post-match interview,
the cutscene.
Okay.
Which is like, again, the cutscenes are phenomenal now.
Oh, yeah.
They're so good. I remember, I think it was on SCN that Christian said, he's delegating that to the new crew members from
Skynet. Skybound.
Skybound. I don't know if y'all heard my facepalm. But yeah, Skybound. There's two new crew members that they got from Skybound. And they are doing awesome. With these cutscenes, because we said it before, like it's not like they're just like, oh, like, you know, traditional, like, you know, cut over the shoulders and just basic like cinematography. They tailor everything to the characters. Whoever's doing this knows characters and they know the Shimodan very well. So props to them. He said their names on SCN. I can't remember them. I'm surprised I can remember my own name sometimes.
Yeah, true.
I'm terrible with names.
Yes.
But yeah, so yeah, that was an interesting take that Commander Butta said.
Yeah. I got to go back and watch it because I'm not entirely sure what you guys are referring to. So I got to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah. So, yeah. And also on his point, like, yeah, like loving two competitors going up against each other, but only really cheering for one.
It's hard.
I mean, there's so many great personalities in the Shmodown.
Yeah.
There's personalities that you love, personalities that you love to hate. So.
Who is somebody that you love to hate?
That I love to hate? Kalinowski was one of those before I met him in person.
It's hard to
hate somebody, like love to hate them,
when you've met them in person. And you know, and you see the way they are actually.
Yeah, like Chance was another. Chance was a big personality.
And then we met him, and I was like, wow, you're actually pretty cool.
We met him in the Orlando event. We were in the after party, and I spent a good hour and a half talking to him about movies.
Yeah, no, Chance was super cool.
We missed our opportunity to see him again because he was in Orlando.
He was in Orlando, and I don't know what we had going on, but we had something going on.
We had a babysitter lined up, but then it fell through for some reason. And then that exact week is when, you know, the quarantine started happening and the social. Yes, it was that week.
Well, and I also think one of the weekends that they were here was our anniversary weekend.
Yes, that was it.
So that was probably part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see you again, Chance, one day.
Yeah.
One day.
One day. Come for that. I'm just kidding.
So bad.
But loving two competitors and like, you know, we had that experience with the Atlanta event with Ben.
Yeah, Bateman and Merle.
Yeah, Bateman and Merle. And it's like we both wanted Ben to win, but, you know, cheering for both of them, but really wanted one other person to win. That's the showdown.
Yeah, there's only like a very select small handful of people that I'm like... don't want that person. I would never disclose those names because everybody's playing a character and it's not right to be like, man, fuck that guy. It's just not right to do that. But there are a select number of competitors. And I'm like, I never want that person. No, I will never cheer for that person. So for the most part, it's always like, I like both of these people.
Yeah.
There's somebody that I give an edge to, but I like both of them.
Yeah, really, that's really how it is for us now. It's like, you know, especially with meeting everybody. It's like, oh man, like, you know, really like happy for certain characters, but really it comes down to like who we think is going to win as opposed to who we want to win.
I don't know who I'd say I'd love to hate anymore at this point. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Shannon says some ridiculous stuff sometimes, but we've met her several times.
She was so sweet when we talked to her. I would never say that I love to hate her because, you know.
I'm trying to think of anybody.
He's not there. At one point, probably before we met him and stuff, I was probably like, wow, Kalinowski, he's really doing it to him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I ever would be like, man, oh, I hate that guy.
I got to that point at some point. It was right before the Orlando event, I think.
He's just
somewhere
so,
near the Orlando event.
He's so
like,
good at playing that cocky bastard.
Yeah, I was like,
fuck
this guy.
And like now he's walking out here like fucking sucking on his lollipops. Like, I don't know what he's doing, but he just... He does it to him.
Then we freaking meet him in Orlando, and it's like, oh man, this guy's really cool.
No, he and Shannon, they were both really nice. And they were so like, I don't want to use the word patient with fans, but they were just accommodating.
Accommodating and welcoming.
Huh. And everybody, that could be said about everybody, really. I mean, we had like a small group of our friends came to the Orlando event that had probably never watched a Shmodown before, apart from Andrew's match. You know, at...
No, it didn't air until
It hadn't
after.
Aired yet. So they had only seen like the Chicago Celebration match. And they...
They watched the free-for-all when we had it on the background. Because we had a watch-along for my Chicago match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they came out to that bar after the Orlando match. And they were just like... Everybody that we were talking to, they were just kind of there. And everybody was just like so nice.
Yeah.
Not that I expected them not to be, but it's like...
Hey, we don't know these people.
But it's like you see John Rocha. Dan Morrow. Like you expect them to be like too cool for school, you know?
Yeah.
Like I got things to do. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
But they were just so sweet and they sat and they talked to our friends for like a while.
Yeah.
And I was just like, do you guys even realize who you're speaking with right now? Can you have some respect?
It's John Rocha. They were talking to Merle at one point.
I know.
Too. I was
like you're talking to Dan Morrow. You're not even excited.
Who are you talking to? Oh my God.
People pay for VIP tickets to talk to this man. Man, that was a good time.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that Tampa got canceled. I'm really excited about that. One day.
Anyways.
One day they'll come back to her.
Any final Florida. Thoughts on these matches?
Yes.
Next week's matches.
Well,
it's only one match next week.
Let's see what the schedule says. I'm hoping it's updated.
So... I believe it's, since they updated the scores or the leaderboard, they have to update the schedule because now.
Well, I have bad news.
No,
because it says further scheduling of future matches is pending due to the coronavirus.
Oh, Jesus. So we have no idea.
The last match that it says is John Rocha versus Paulo Yama.
So we have no
March
idea what's coming up next.
Not according to the schedule.
Damn it.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a time to be alive.
Great. That's fantastic.
So we're doing it live. We're gonna see what happens.
So I might as well just announce this now, right? Because like I said before that, you know, I want like tomorrow.
Whatever you want to do, baby.
Hey, you know, whatever. We're doing it live. So like you said, like we'll rock paper scissors for who wants to go to the store. I said I want to spend more time on this on our home studio because I'm only do one announcement because there's another announcement that's gonna be coming up on Tuesday for Going Rogue. But yeah, so this is the last episode of Beyond the Shmodown ever. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
It's the last episode of audio only for Beyond the Shmodown because if I'm able to get the studio up and running for next week, we will be going live to tape.
We will be attempting to do a video version.
Video version of
Not
Beyond the
live.
Shmodown. Not live. Live to tape. So
live to tape.
So the episodes will be dropping on Mondays, just a later time because I'm gonna be premiering them on our YouTube channel. I have yet to understand.
Wow.
I might do it, maybe like 3:30 on Mondays, so it fills that like beyond that backstage. So because backstage is on at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern. So I think on Mondays 3:30 Eastern will be when the
you're sad that SCN is over, but you're still craving for that exactly.
So
content.
So we get the audience from SCN bleeding into Beyond the Smowdown on Mondays.
So Christian, go ahead and pitch it to us.
But the audio version will be dropping at its regular time on the Beyond the Smowdown podcast feed. So if you want to, stay up late with us on Sunday nights. Early
I
Monday
won't be
morning.
Up late, but if you all want to.
If you want to do that, like a lot of people have been doing that, you can listen to the audio version on Beyond the Schmodown podcast feed. Or if you want to tune in for the video version on Videos by Andrew, videosbyandrew.com, you can tune into us when the video premieres. So
if you want to see my vast collection of sweatpants and workout shirts, tune in.
Yes, so hopefully I can get the studio up and running before next taping, which is so I have a whole week, but I want to get it done before going rogue on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
But we might have another announcement on Tuesday on going rogue, so tune in for that.
I'm not really sure what it is.
You know what it is.
Maybe.
But yeah. So we're making a lot of changes. I'm hitting this YouTube thing hard, hitting the Patreon thing hard. Because we've gotten a lot more patrons. We got a lot more attention now. So, yeah. Thank you.
Sometimes you just got to do it to them. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. That's so. We're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. Beyond the Smowdown. Nikki D. Melanta. Where can they find you online?
Online.
Yes. Where can they find you?
They can find me.
Don't whisper it. Come on.
Trying to be like Dagnino right now. They can find me on Twitter. You can find me at Dimmy, DimmyY.
Thank you very much. And you can find me on Twitter at Drew D. Melanta and Instagram, DimmyAlanta. Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
Also, you can find us on YouTube. If you are listening to this on YouTube, give us a like, subscribe, and share this video.
Hit that bell icon,
Hit the bell icon because I go live every Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Going Rogue, talking and celebrating Star Wars. And again, this is the last audio-only episode of Beyond the Schmodown, so tune in next Monday for a video version.
Next Monday.
Next Monday.
Not this Monday, but next Monday.
Well, you're listening to this on Monday, so next week.
Not today. But a week from today.
Yes, so... Thank you again, everybody, for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Schmodown, and we will see you next time.
You're
a little late.